For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay. Welcome. We're on chapter 5. Just wanted to point out, there's always one or two sayings that are famous. Now, the truth is you can take any saying and make it famous. Sometimes a verse strikes a chord in a person. And because we read all these verses together, we tend to think that they're not independent, or it could be that there was one verse that many years he came up with that theory or that thought. So one of the more popular verses that you quote, that's quoted often, is on verse 5 on page 136. That Haksil Kovet Es Yadav Ocho Es Besaro, like the fool folds his hands and does nothing, and destroys himself. Like there are many different ways to react in a situation, but the person shouldn't hurt themselves. The person shouldn't do something that's not good for one's health, or just fold their hands and do nothing. There's always something that can be done. But that's an often quoted verse or an interesting thought.
I was thinking of, oh, poor, pitiful me.
Right. That's
there are
right.
People that feel that way.
Yeah, like, well, you know, what can I do? And then they eat themselves up, and that's a foolish thing to there's always something that can be done, or there's always, but to sit there and to hurt yourself, you know, that's a foolish thing. That's not the way to go. Okay, so we begin chapter 5. There is a clear theme to chapter 5, and that theme is that a person's mouth can get them into big trouble. And that's somehow, even though we all know that lesson, there are people that have gotten themselves into big trouble by saying something they shouldn't have said. And so the first piece of advice is, al tivalu es al picha. Don't be in a rush to say something. You know, think it through. Don't. Many times people say things, they spoke too fast. A person, even the word vahal, the Hebrew word vahala, means like, don't speak if you're in a time of confusion. Like, don't speak when it's not clear what you say, what you mean. Believe ka'al yamahir. If you ever go to Israel, you hear this word, maher, quick, you know, fast. But certain things, you got to be very careful not to say certain things. Now, here he says, in your heart, it means that in your heart you shouldn't be quick to make up your mind or to express a thought, even in front of Hashem. Sometimes people have complaints, or people they turn against Hashem in a moment of anger, and a person shouldn't be quick to do that. Sometimes just knowing that I'm not going to react quickly, I'm going to think this through. It's not the time to react. One of the important examples in the Torah is of Aaron. When his sons died, it says that he was quiet, and I'm sure if he had said something, it would have been understood, and people would have said that, you know, he's in grief, what can you say, what can you do? But that's traditionally when we don't know what to say, don't say anything. That's the best, that's what Hashem wants us to do, is just sometimes the reaction is, there's not much to say. So some people, when they say there's not much to say, and then they go ahead and they say it. But he's saying, you know, from Shlomo, the wisest of all men, he said, first of all, don't be quick to say things, and don't even be quick to make up your mind. Some of us are so impatient that we have to solve everything immediately. Sometimes the way we look at it today, we look at it tomorrow in a different way. I've seen that many times where sometimes I'll look at something one way today, and then tomorrow I look at it and I'm thinking totally different. I'm glad I didn't go ahead and decide. There are many people that used to write letters when they wanted to do something, and then they don't send the letter. They put it on hold, and then they look at it 3 days later, and they don't have that same passion. They wouldn't write it the same way. One of our challenges today is that all you have to do is hit the email button, you press send, and it's gone. It's too late. And it's very easy, and you don't have to write, you know, and sometimes it's a very quick thing, but it's not always well thought out. And so in the rush of things, it's well known that there are many misunderstandings today that come out because of emails, because people, they press send too quickly, you know, just, you know, why did you do that? You know, or they didn't have a chance to say why they were so upset, and the person got, why is he challenging me? And they, you know, before you know it, it's the whole...
Or you send it to the wrong person.
Or it goes to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so it's interesting. We live a time where political careers have been ruined by... But it's all the same thing, that people that react too quickly or people that make up their mind too quickly. Now, why shouldn't we challenge Hashem? Ki Elokim b'shamayim, because he has a different vantage point. He's in the heavens, and we're down here. And so we really don't see the full picture. We really can't make a determination. We have to give Hashem the benefit of the doubt. You know, he up there has a reason for what he does. Al kinyei devechamatim, and therefore say very little. Most of us say we want to react as if we are the creator of the world, and we live forever. We understand everything. That's not the way it goes. We don't replace Hashem. Verse 2. Kiba chalom barov inyan. Now, he talked earlier, he's made it seem like you can control your heart. And his main theme was, don't allow things to be decided immediately. See, once you decide something in your heart, you go with it. But if you think about it slowly, if you decide that you're going to think about it for a while, then you allow yourself to be open-minded. But if somebody immediately decides, then they go with it. People dream... Sometimes a person has a dream or they have a worry because they put too much thought about things they shouldn't be thinking about. Kiba chalom barov inyan. They get a dream because they worry so much, and next thing you know, they have a dream that comes that way. And the dream itself, a dream is something that's not real. And so dreams sometimes come because a person is thinking about something too much. They think about it so much, before you know it, they got somebody's got Ebola. It's like the people there is a part of human nature to worry about things, and we have to recognize that. In other words, sometimes people don't realize it, that there's something inside of us that gets us to worry about certain things, and it's not necessarily a positive. There's a good worry, and then there's a negative worry. And a person that knows that they tend to worry about things and they see things that they worry about, they have to be careful with that. The kolk seal barov dvarim. And foolish talk comes from a lot of words. Words are measured. Words need, don't say too much. Kasher tidor neder le'elukim. If you made a promise, keep your promise. If you said something, it should have meaning. If you say you're going to do something, you should do it. There's some people, they like to say a lot and they do very little. We're the opposite. We believe you say a little, and whatever you say, you're supposed to do what you say. Kasher titor neder, you know, keep your word. Al ta'achu l'shalmo, and don't delay. If you said you were going to do something, don't push it off. Ki ein chafetz v'ksilim. And people, they sound like fools. They promise all kinds of things and they don't deliver. So that's not, you think Hashem wants you? Some people, when they pray, this is what they do. They say, they tell Hashem they're going to be good, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And they never do that. Well, one of these days, Hashem, I'm going to do this. One of these days, Hashem, I'm going to, you'd be better off not promising Hashem anything, but promising that you're going to do this, you're going to do that. If you commit to Hashem something, you should do it. But be careful with your promises. And Hashem doesn't want you to make promises that you're not going to keep. Hashem doesn't want fools. He wants people to keep their commitments. They often talk about this with New Year's resolutions. Like some people say, "Oh, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be totally different. I'm not going to," you know. But they're not specific enough, and they make all kinds of promises, and it's like a fool's promise. Yeah, of course he's going to be, you know. And then he says he's going to be better. He's going to be different, and then he goes right back to doing the same thing. So a person has to be think about their commitments. We respect people that keep their commitments. And it's so interesting, and part of the reason is there's so few people that do. There are certain people that talk and talk and talk, and they never do. When I grew up, we used to have a certain word for people like that, but there are certain kinds of people that, it wasn't a positive word, but there are certain people that like to, that talk a certain game. They talk about what they're going to do, and they talk, and you know that they're not going to do any of that. That they are just people that like to talk. They really want to do those things, but they're just talkers. And if you find yourself always doing a lot of promises, saying a lot of things, and not doing them, you have to focus on saying less and trying to get around to doing what you promise. Some people, they think it sounds so nice that people like to hear that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They have to be careful. Verse 4. Tov asher, it's better not to make the promise than make the promise and not keep the promise. Verse 5. Don't let your mouth cause you problems. Don't let your things that you say hurt your flesh. In the end, people's own family get hurt by what they do if they don't keep their promises. So a person should be careful not to be the cause of harming themselves. And a person should not say, it's not so clear who this malach means, like an angel. A person shouldn't say in front of an angel. It means when a person prays, he might say something or he might promise something. Kishkagahu, it's a mistake. It's a mistake to promise things to Hashem or to commit to things that you're not going to do. With a good deed, it's even worse to make a promise to do something. Some people say that's what Kol Nidre is about, because people make promises to the shul, to the community, and then they don't keep it. And so on the holiest day of the year, we have to make sure that our promises are meaningful. Why should God get angry? A person can destroy the good that they've done by making too many promises. Because he has too many dreams and too many things that are hot air. Again, so the focus on life is to be a doer, not to be a promiser, not to say things and not to have a lot of dreams, but to actually do things, to be a doer. Ki es Elokim Yireh, because a person fears Hashem, they accomplish these things. Now, it's very interesting. We started out talking about the power of words. And one of the reasons words are important is because that's what we pray with, is with our mouth. And we're always, we have to be careful what we say about Hashem. And also we have to be careful about judging Hashem. Now, sometimes things happen that we see. Oshek Rush. We see a poor person getting oppressed. The Gozo Mishpat. And we see that things that are happening are not, they don't seem fair. So, what should we do? So some people, they challenge. They say they would run the world better. Al titame ala chesed. The person shouldn't wonder about that. Ki gavu ma'al, because there's somebody above, and there's somebody above the somebody above. And the Chafetz Chaim had a famous story that he once, there was a widow whose husband died, and therefore she was poor and she couldn't afford to pay her rent. And she got evicted in the winter into the snow. And the Torah, that's an awful thing to do to somebody, to throw them out of their house in the winter. But the Torah says specifically that a person has to be extra kind to a widow. And here this person threw the widow out into the, you know, because she couldn't pay her rent, he threw her out into the cold. And so the Chafetz Chaim, you know, the Torah says that there are certain things that a person does that bring divine wrath. It says that Hashem, like, if you want to get Hashem angry, start up with a widow, you know, or harm a widow, you know, that brings Hashem's anger. So this person did this, And he was waiting, and nothing happened. You know, the lightning didn't strike the guy. You know, the guy still seemed like everything was fine. And many, many years went by. And Chavetz Chaim lived to an old age. And one day, the guy got bitten by a wild dog. And he got rabies. And he had a terrible death. He was foaming at the mouth, and he went insane. And at that point, people, they were thinking, why would this guy suffer like that? What did he do? Chavetz Chaim said, I remember he was there. In other words, like we don't always see, like Hashem has a lot of patience with people. He gives them time to figure out where they goofed. He gives them time to fix things that they might have done. So sometimes a person sees an injustice happen, and they, you know, there needs to be immediately something. The world has to stop. The lightning has to come. But, you know, don't worry. Sometimes the problem we run into is because we think that if we don't react, then justice won't be done. We don't have to worry. There's Hashem in the world. You know, sometimes a person hurts you or insults you, and so you feel a need to say something back. Why? Because in some ways, you lack faith. If you believe that Hashem is going to punish a person for doing something wrong, what do I need to you know, be immature and call him a name back or do what he did to me? There's a God in the world. Hashem takes care. As long as you know, it's clear that person harmed you or did something for no reason, there's somebody above. We don't have to worry about that. There's no reason to worry about it, that somebody's getting away with something. Nobody gets away with anything. That's part of the... In a certain way, that's what he's saying over here. That a person shouldn't wonder if they see that somebody oppresses somebody else.
Should we try to figure out why we're being punished?
That's a good question. That's really a good question. If it's obvious, in other words, we always try to make something positive of if we're having a hard time or something happens. And so it's positive if a person says, you know, maybe I can improve something. Maybe that's a sign that I need to fix something. You know, if that's the... So we use, if something bad happens, we use that as a chance to fix ourselves up. On the other hand, if a person says, well, you know, God's angry at me, that's not necessarily a positive thing. Hashem loves us. So, like, we don't really know. We're actually beginning the Parshas where Hashem's favorite was Avraham. And what does he do? He tests them. Here he's his favorite, and what does he do? He gives it to him. You know, he's sent, you know, Hashem sends, he goes to the land of Israel. You know, Hashem said, leave your birthplace. It's not easy to leave your birthplace. You've got to go to a strange land. It's not easy. What does he do? What happens when he gets there? Instead of getting everything is wonderful, there's a famine. So what does he do? He goes down to Egypt. What happens? They kidnap his wife. You know, life is terrible. You know, so did Abraham sin? That Hashem? No, Hashem loves him, and Hashem knew that he would develop into an even greater person by having these challenges. So we should be open to the idea that we might be doing something wrong if we see something happen. On the other hand, if we don't have anything obvious to us, then we should we don't have to focus. We don't have to say, like, you know, God's punishing us. Or God. No, Hashem gave us this challenge. He wants us to become better people. He wants us to learn how to deal with challenges. That would kind of be what it is. So over here, it's kind of interesting, the foe. So we begin kind of with, be careful what you say, be careful what you think. Don't be quick to judge Hashem. And again, you read in the newspapers, people they think they're more moral than the creator of the world. Like they do that. We don't assume that role. It's going to be really interesting over here. His next piece of advice, he's going to talk about the importance of working the land and being just a hardworking person, and how that really in life. People that work hard can enjoy life the most, rather than people that sit around or people that gather wealth and people that chase empty dreams. And so it's a you know, you look around and you might say, well, this guy has to get his hands dirty and he has to work the land. Isn't that terrible? No, actually, the Yisra Na'aretz Bekol. He said one of the best things is to somebody that provides from themselves with hard work, and they he melech l'sada nevad, and even the king, even the highest person, he needs things to keep him busy, and he would do well to do hard work. We're a very funny society. We've eliminated hard work, and so what do people do? They get a workout. And so and we don't sweat and work, you know, so we have to go and create artificial sweat so that, and it feels good, but it used to be like people, you know, they worked around the house, they did other things. We were made, or we were created to be busy, and if we do positive things, at the end of that time we're tired, we're exhausted, but it feels good. Whereas if we just waste our time, and there are people that want to spend the rest of their life traveling and going places, and they live, nothing wrong with traveling, but they there's something to having some kind of work or doing something to create something, to make the world a better place. Now even if you don't, if you can afford, you know, you can buy your own tomatoes, you can still have a garden. There are other things so he seems to say that it's the importance of land. Now, why land? How about money? Isn't money more important than land? Oh, if kesef lo yishbek, you can love money, you'll never be satisfied. If you love money, if that's what you're after, you'll never be happy with it. A person gets into the money race, and then they're never satisfied. Umiya oy bahamon, and to the a person who. That's all they love is money, lo tvua. He won't have food. He won't, and it's a strange thing. Like, you would think, why, what happens? I know it, and I understand this also. You work so much, you forget to eat. Or you're so busy working and chasing after all that money you're going to make, you don't enjoy the finer points of life. You're too worried, or you're too nervous, or you're too, today they say you get caught up in the rat race, you know, so to speak. But the, is a very big difference between working because or acquiring money because you have needs for yourself and for your family, and then loving the money for the sake of money. We don't love money. We love people. We love Hashem. We don't love money. Money is just a need. You know, we can do a lot with money, no question about it. But we shouldn't use the word love about money. But that's also like it's hevel. It's a dream. And the more things that you have, the more money you'll need to pay for them. And I think I mentioned last week, somebody was telling me that there was an article that for a while the wealthy people wanted to have very big mansions and things. That was the style. Mm-hmm. And they found that they couldn't afford to keep them up. And they didn't enjoy the lifestyle, because if you have a big mansion, then you have to have a groundskeeper, and then you have to have a security guy, and having all those people around is a pain in the neck, because they keep on coming to you with reports, you know, there's this security problem, there's this problem on the ground, and you don't have privacy, and then you can't just relax because you have all these people around that have different jobs to do, and so even on your quiet time, you're like living in you're running a corporation, the people that run these big households, and so it's becoming less popular. A lot of those places, those huge mansions, that people have this dream of building their dream home with 100 rooms and billiards and a swimming pool and a racetrack and a horse track, and then they go ahead and they do their dreams and they build the dream home, and then they discover they don't enjoy life there. It's too impersonal. There's too many. The house, you know, the corridors are drafty and they're long and they're empty, and it takes too long to talk to someone on the other end of the house, and they got to worry about security. And then there's so many things to go wrong in a big house that it's different. And so they find that after most people build them, they don't end up living in them. There are very few people that build their dream home, and then I'm not talking about, you know, in our world where, you know, our dream home means the Milkik Inflation Kitchen or even a Pesach Kitchen, you know, or a little room for the grandkids or something. But I'm talking about the people that build those really large, islands where they have their own home. Because the more that you build, the more needs you're going to have. What is the person going to gain? He has more. He builds a bigger house. He has more needs. Misucha shnasav, you know who sleeps the best? The hardworking person. He sleeps the best. He feels good about life. Imad, whether he makes a little, whether he makes a lot, and whatever he makes, he's satisfied. Whereas La Usher, the rich person, the wealthy person, Ainu Maniachola, he can't sleep. So you might say if the person saying this was poor, so yeah, that's what all the poor people say. But this was King Solomon. He had lots of money. And he was telling you that's the way it is, that a person works hard and he brings in whatever he brings in, whether he brings in a lot or a little, you know what? He's satisfied. He worked a good day's work, and this is, he brought in something and he's satisfied with it and he sleeps well. He enjoys it. The rich person doesn't get a good night's sleep. Okay, 12. So it's really interesting, you know, that here you have the richest of all people talking about the problems with wealth. Yesh ra chola, there's a very bad thing out there that I've seen tachas hashemesh in this world, and that is osher shamer lebal v'ras. So sometimes a person has money, and instead of the money doing him good, the money does him bad. It's a detriment to him. You would think that the biggest blessing is money. They always show this, that when people win the lottery, they trace the people that win the lottery. Most of them don't lead a better life afterwards. Yeah. You would think, if only I had. Well, a lot of times they get into fights and divorces, and their world is turned upside down, and they don't know what to do with all that money. And so, you know, if we ever, you know, if that happens to any of us, you know, that we get wealthy, we have to daven to Hashem that it should be good for us, you know, that it should be a blessing, be for a good thing. Because he said he's seen it so many times where a person has a lot of wealth and it's to his detriment. But avad ha'asher hu b'inyan ra. And this person loses the money. The other thing is a lot of sports figures. They're not very bright to begin with. They're good at the sports, and they often lose. They make huge amounts of money, and they often lose it. And a higher percentage of them, and after having lived that kind of life where they had all these luxuries, to then lose it all, they're very sad people. They're very miserable people, these athletes and stuff, because they had it, and the people promised them. They had all kinds of advisors, and they had all kinds of investments. And they lost it all, and it is like so common. They still haven't, and it's already been happening now. That how many years have we had professional sports, and it's still happening? It's like it hasn't been solved. It's just you get an advisor to say, you know, pay me, and then I'll make sure that you have your money. But it doesn't help at all. I know my mother was just. They talk about the big professionals now have their own doctors. So what have Michael Jackson had his own doctor, and he did him in. And that lady, Jewish comedian that passed away, Joan Rivers,
yeah.
Had her. She had her own doctor, and he did her in, you know. And it's like you would have thought that they had their own doctors because they thought it would make them healthier. But in the end, that's not what happened. And so sometimes a person isn't focused on the real important things. So this person loses it all, the whole event, and he has children, and he has nothing to leave his children. Verse 14, and this is also very often quoted, Kasha Yotim Ibet, to know when you come into this world, the person is naked. They, when you come in, you don't have anything. And that's the same way you come in, that's the way you go out. Yashuv. Kishbam Uloisa, and you can't take it with you. All the work that a person does, that's not going to go with you. Shiyelith biyado, that you could take it in your hand. So, like, a person works for all the money and all the material things, and in the end, they're not going to go with him. They're not going to. That's not going to last with him eternally, and that's not going to be an accomplishment. Yet, that's what everybody does, and so that's such a tragedy. Gamze ra achola, and that's a big tragedy. Kol Uma Shaba Kenyulad, it's the same as he came into the world, he has to leave. Well, my Yisrael, what did he gain from all that hard work? Shiyamol Ruach, he did work for wind, for air, for nothing. And he worked very hard all of his life. Gam Kol Yam B'choshech. And, well, you know what? Even if he doesn't take it with him, maybe he enjoyed life. So, no. Gam Kol Yam, all of his life was in darkness. He ate in the dark. Why did he eat in the dark? I guess he didn't want to spend the money for the fuel for the light, or he was in a rush. And he ate vikas, harba. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of some people, they're very high strung. Sometimes very successful people are high strung. That's how they got so successful, is that they were every penny they watched and everything. But what did it bring them? V'choyal. It brought them anger and sickness, v'ketzif. It's also kind of, he says, grieved, illness, and anger. And when you think about it, it's such a shame. You know, people want to better themselves in life. They want to have the good things. And instead, they don't benefit from that. So we're going to start a new theme, which is about enjoying life. A very important theme. Believe it or not, people need to be told to do this, to smell the flowers, you know, to learn how to enjoy the world. That's part of living also, is to enjoy things. Hinei asher isa ni tov asher yafo. You know what's good? It's good to eat and to drink, liris tova, and to see good. To see the good in your work. Don't always be complaining. Don't always be upset. Don't always knock yourself down. You know what? Be satisfied. It's a blessing to be satisfied, but it's also something to work on, to be satisfied. A person has to learn to kind of enjoy what he has, not to always worry that he could have had more, or things could have been different, or what's going to be. Those people that are satisfied. You know, we know in Pirkei Avos, we say that who's a rich person, a person who's happy with what he has. That's really a treasure. If a person can learn just to, you know, just be happy with the little things. It's a nice day. You could learn Torah. Whatever it is, you feel okay today. You know, whatever it is, if you could be happy with that, then the quality of your life is amazing. You know, so. Just to be able to, you know, some people, they can't eat and they can't drink. They got special diets. They can't touch this. They can't touch that. And so, you know, what's really good, to eat and to drink, liros tova, to see good. Some people, they don't see any good in the world. The kolamola. And to see in what you've done, shiyama, whatever you've been to mitzvah, and you should do this all throughout your life. A person sees, there are people that see the good, the people that enjoy life. Asher nasan elokim. And God gives a person life, kihu chelcho, and that's he was put here to enjoy. If you don't enjoy this world, then you can't thank Hashem. You can't really daven. Davening means that you're so grateful to be around. You know why it is? Our society is wealthier than most societies, but the people aren't more grateful. It's almost like there's more that could go wrong. You know, they can't get their TV show on, you know, or they can't get. We just have to learn how to enjoy what we have, you know, like it's just so interesting, you know, like sometimes you wouldn't think that a guy that's working on the farm would be happier than a person who, he knows that he goes out to work and he manages to grow whatever he's able to grow with his own hands, and he's happy, you know, it does what it needs to, and so that's a good thing. Gam kol adam, if you turn the page, if you're in Nasan lo'akim osher nechasin, and a person is given a certain amount of wealth and a certain amount of property, fishlito, and he has control over them. And the purpose is to enjoy it. Lachol mimanu, to eat from it. Lasis es kalka, lasameh ba'amalo, and to be happy with a person's things that he's done. That's really a gift. If a person can enjoy the things that they have, and, you know, sometimes you just sit back, look at the grandchildren, or look at whatever, or the, you know, just, you know, sometimes Shabbos morning, just to be in shul on a Shabbos, you know, and to be satisfied and not hungry and not too cold, not too hot, whatever it is, to be able to praise Hashem. It's also like just, it's a, what?
It's always cold.
It's always cold, it's always hot, it's always, but, if a person it can be happy, if you know, it's like the food is too spicy, it's not spicy enough. But on those times when it is right, if you can be happy, that's a present from Hashem.
Everything's decided for us at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parnasa.
That's it.
So with what he's saying now, does that mean do what you need to do, but mm-hmm. don't kill yourself doing it, because you're going to get what you need to have anyway?
Well. It could be true what you're saying. I think, though, he's saying try to be satisfied with what you do. Because you have a choice, you know. Whether you're satisfied or you're not satisfied, you did what
you
did.
It's the attitude.
It's the attitude.
And that's gratitude.
Yes. That's right. you know, he was that initially in his life where he set out to accomplish things, to build and to do this, and then I guess at the end of his life, looking back, when he was younger, he built the temple. He built and he reached out. He was trying to be Mashiach. There's nobody. He married all these women because he was trying to influence all these countries to Judaism. And
but that was ego, though, because then he did what he wasn't supposed to do.
Well,
with the wives,
he goofed, but he meant well from it. In other words, he would try to teach these countries that worshipped idols. He would try to teach them about Hashem, and they would say to him, "Well, you don't really care about us because you haven't, you know, you haven't taken one of our daughters, or you haven't, we have no relationships." And so it was like, and today we exchange ambassadors. In those days, they exchanged
wives.
Yeah, that's the way it worked. They took, at least in that part of the world, that was the they took wives and daughters. And if you would refuse to marry somebody's daughter, if you wouldn't take them, that was like an insult. Like, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with. I mean, you actually see that. In this week's Parsha, where there's that Paro takes Avram's wife, and so what does he do to make it up to him? He gives him a hugger. I'm sorry, I blew it. Here, have another wife, you know. It's take her as a servant or whatever. It was a funny lifestyle. It's not what we're used to, but Shlomo, I'm just trying to say that he also he tried to accomplish too much in certain ways. He wanted to influence the whole world, and he made mistakes. In other words, because he tried too hard, that caused him to make certain mistakes. But I think here, it's not saying that a person shouldn't try hard and shouldn't try to accomplish. It's just a person should try to see the good in what he's done. He should try to see a certain satisfaction. And realize that's a blessing. If you can try to find that, it's a skill to be learned, to just enjoy things, to just somehow be satisfied with what Hashem sends you. And it's really, the Rambam used to say that he was a doctor and he would do his rounds sometimes before davening. Now, usually you're not supposed to do anything before you pray. But he would sometimes go to the hospital first thing before he went to pray. And he said, why did he do that? Because that helped him pray. Because however bad things were for him, he didn't get much sleep, and people were bugging him all the time because he was, they didn't have that many doctors around, and he didn't have time to study like he wanted to. It says he was so tired at the end of the day that he just, plopped himself on the donkey and it like dropped him off in his home. He was so exhausted. But the reason he would go to do his rounds first would be that sometimes a person feels that something in life passed them by. Go to the hospital and see what the people there have, and your person will dance on the way out when you see how people aren't well and they have all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of troubles and all kinds of so it's really a present. If we can learn to be happy with whatever our lot is, whatever Hashem gave us, there's somebody worse off. There are other difficulties in life that maybe other people were able to handle them, but we wouldn't be able to handle them so well. Sometimes Hashem gives people trouble in life, but he at least gives them the ability to handle it. Mm-hmm. We maybe don't have that test or that ability to handle it so well. So we have to try to learn to be happy with what Hashem gives us. And that's kind of his lesson. 19. Ki lo hirba yiska shimei chayef. You don't have that much life to waste. Life is very short. And so if you spend all of life complaining and worrying, Ki Elokim mana b'simchas, Hashem gives a person a chance to enjoy it. It gives a person a chance to see the good in it. So that's really what he's advising over here. It's kind of a good way to finish in a certain sense. There's so many times there's so much that we can't control. We need so many things. If only we could make some more money. If only we could help our children, help our family. If only there's so many things that we would like to be a certain way. But you know what? We have no control over that. But there's certain things we do control. And so we can control what we say. We can control what we commit. We can try to do what we say. We can try to be honorable people. And sometimes we worry that there are people that promise all kinds of things and it looks like they're getting away with it. You know, he says, don't worry, there's a God above, and nobody's getting away with anything. And then he talks about, you know, sometimes just the fact that a little bit of hard work is a good thing, that a person, if he sees a blessing in the work, he sees he can accomplish something and he can benefit from it. So you know, you can sleep a lot better at night, and so it's a little bit of hard work. And it's a challenge for us. The wisest of all men says we should learn to enjoy things. That would be really good if we could enjoy life. Now, you might say there's certain people who really know how to enjoy life. What do? They take drugs. They take alcohol. That's not enjoying life. That's using an artificial means of enjoying life because they can't enjoy it on their own. They need to get really stoned to put them out of their misery, so to speak. They go to the analyst and they go to the psychologist. It's really incredible. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we really, you know, live in an amazing world that there's so much, you know, we're not afraid of the pogroms and we're not afraid of, you know, we don't live in those kind of worlds. You know, people are afraid of Ebola. It wasn't that long ago that there were all kinds of diseases out there and they had no penicillin. There were no cures for them. And so now, you know, we get this one thing that everybody's worried about. But they used to be so common that there were all kinds of diseases, terrible, awful things that people, it was rare 150 years ago that all of people's children survived. I like to read biographies about great people. It's just a hobby. And you can't read about anybody that didn't lose children. That was just, if you lived in Poland or Russia or even the kings or the presidents, they also lost children. They just, that was part of life in those days. You know, today a person never thinks, well, thank God, you know, that they didn't lose this or they didn't, because they expect it. It's just part of, thank God they don't have Ebola, you know. But people in those days, they got sick and there was no cures and so it's really like we should be fortunate to be at this time of the world and this place so if we can learn to enjoy it, then we're ahead of the game. That's the good advice from King Solomon.
Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.